special report coronavirus update. The President and Vice President visit Arlington National Cemetery this Memorial Day. Not even a pandemic can get in the way of the tradition of Americans paying tribute to those who have given their all in the service of the country. Services are taking place across the nation online as a result of social distancing requirements. Freeport, New York Mayor Robert Kennedy.
This day is a somber day, a reminder of the men and women who died while serving in this nation's military. Equally important, let's remember the mothers, the fathers, the sisters, the brothers, the sons and the daughters of those in the armed forces that gave their lives.
Americans aren't getting out this weekend, but health officials continue to urge caution. I'm Mike Moss. The Republican National Committee has filed a lawsuit to stop California from pushing an all-mail-in ballot for the general election this November.
Governor Gavin Newsom issued the order that all registered eligible voters should receive mail-in ballots in an effort to reduce the exposure to and spread of COVID-19. While everyone will receive a mail-in ballot, there will still be polls open on Election Day for people who want to cast their ballots in person. Now, the RNC and other Republican groups have filed a lawsuit, claiming it's an effort by Democrats to, quote, rig, end quote, the election, and that mail-in is rife with fraud. There's no evidence to support those claims, but they are made nonetheless. Governor Newsom maintains it's a public health move, not a political move. Jim Roop, Los Angeles.
In Florida, an event called Orlando Invades Daytona was scheduled for the weekend, but then canceled by promoters at the request of the Daytona Police Department, which was concerned about security. I'm Mike Moss.
Right now, home sweet home has never been sweeter. Our homes are more important than ever, and finding people we trust to take care of them is just as important. For over 20 years, Home Advisor has been connecting homeowners with trusted local plumbers, electricians, roofers, and more. And now we're making it easier than ever for great pros to join the Home Advisor network. For a limited time, home service businesses can get $200 in free advertising. Visit homeadvisor.com/offer200 for details. That's homeadvisor.com/offer200.
She became overweight, stinky, several vertebrae fused together. Sophie was going to be euthanized.
DINOVITE.com.
I remember Sophie starting the DynaVite. She has loved it. She is no longer stinky. She is full of life.
DynaVite is nutrition.
Get them on DynaVite right away while they're healthy.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my DynaVite from DINOVITE.com.
As life starts to get back to normal here in Yuma, 560 KBOU wants to know what you're thinking when it comes to local businesses and services. Do you need a new car, a dentist, a plumber? Whatever the business or professional service you need, we'd like to know which one is on the tip of your tongue. Be a part of the 560 KBOU Yuma Local Business Survey. It's on the KBOU Facebook page or at KBOUAM.com. You can participate from your phone, tablet, or your computer. For participating, you'll have the chance to win up to $500. Tell us what you're thinking when it comes to using our local businesses here in Yuma. Take the survey now and maybe put some cash in your wallet to spend locally. Hit up our Facebook page or log on to KBOUAM.com.
Kia of Yuma is now open and ready to stimulate Yuma. For the month of May, Kia of Yuma is offering customers the choice of receiving their rebates up front. Kia of Yuma is a proud Yuma Strong business and ready to make deals on wheels to get our economy going. No matter your credit scores, we will accept your application. No matter how much you owe on your car, we will try our best to pay it off. No matter your budget, we will find a way no matter what. Let's get Yuma going by putting cash in your pocket when you buy a 2020 Kia Sorento. Choose $4,000 off MSRP or $4,000 in your pocket. You heard me right. You keep the rebate and put it in your pocket if you choose. So come out today and say I want my $4,000 check and my new 2020 Kia Sorento. Only at Kia of Yuma, a Yuma Strong business looking to stimulate our local economy. Visit KiaofYuma.com. Plus taxes, plates, and dock fee. Rebates are in lieu of any special finance offers. See dealer for details.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hansen.
Good morning, Yuma, and happy Memorial Day. I'm in studio here. I'm Sean Garner, an attorney with Decent Garner and Hansen, and I'm here sitting across the desk from Russ Clark, and we're talking about Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And enjoying this. It's a national holiday. It's a state holiday. It's instituted to remember those who have fallen in wars.
And it's been around a while.
It has been around a while. As has been tradition on this show, when we come in during a holiday, we like to talk about that holiday. And we like to express gratitude and the reason for the purpose of the holiday. And so let's do that today. Memorial Day was first instituted a long time ago. It was actually instituted as a way to remember the fallen dead of the Civil War. So shortly after the spring of 1865, when the Civil War ended, people began to remember the fallen dead and to decorate their graves. And so it was first known as Decoration Day.
Have you been to Arlington?
I haven't.
Oh, man, what a breathtaking place to go. Beautiful, and just, you know, remember, you know, the people that, you know, fought for this country and fought each other in this country. Civil War. You know,
yeah.
We're fighting ourselves for what are our liberties.
The Civil War is an astonishing war, and I think it did set us apart as to whether or not we were going to be able to maintain this ideal of democracy and be united as a country, the first democracy out there to institute freedom and see if we could stand on those principles. And we came really close to falling apart, and more Americans died in fighting for that idea of freedom than every other war combined since then.
Oh, yeah. It's like 600,000 or something at a time when our population wasn't very big.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 600,000, and those were the counted dead soldiers.
Probably. I don't know.
I've done a little bit of research on this. I'm not a historian or a scholar on the issue, but I've done a little research on this. And the way they came up with those numbers was they went to the rosters of the people that were enrolled.
Wow.
And counted how many people went and how many people came back, and then there's their death toll. Well, certainly there is an extraordinary amount of death and destruction caused upon the civilian population as well.
Oh, yes.
And so the amount of people that died as a result of starvation and disease and all the other reasons that are consistent with war were extraordinary. So there was a large amount of people that died and a large percent of the population. And not just a large percent, but these are the able-bodied workers and the men and women that are able to actually participate and help society thrive. Those are the ones that were dying. And so, anyways, it was a terrible, terrible toll on our country. And the question then is, was it worth it?
What do you think?
So the cause was for freedom, and certainly it's worth fighting for freedom. And, of course, there was the slave issue, and that was the spark of the Civil War. But overall, the freedom of all mankind to think, to act, and to do as they see fit, to pursue the ownership of property and pursue happiness, was that fight. That was the underlying reason for that fight. And that continues to be the underlying reason for our fight for freedom.
And I think we need to fight for it again right now.
Are we coming up on a break?
No, we fight for freedom, though. I mean, look, we're in a martial law situation in a lot of states, and And there's a question on whether these liberties have been taken from us properly. Should we have given them up? And those questions are coming up.
I think that's an excellent point, because if you think about what is freedom, the freedom is the right to worship as you see fit.
Okay.
The freedom is the right to assemble peaceably.
Yep.
The right to...
You're mentioning like First Amendment.
Yeah. The right to think and to speak without undue restriction from the government.
From the government. And that's a confusion sometimes on First Amendment. Like, if you walk into someone's house and start talking to you, I got my First Amendment rights. No, it's the government. But get out of my house.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how do you exercise religion traditionally? Many people go and gather together with others of the like mind, and they either pray together or sing together, they worship together. Together is the key word here.
Yeah.
And that is practicing religion. Now, certainly one can practice religion on their own in the forest or out in some desert solitude place. But being together enhances a lot of the experience that is demonstrated through religious worship.
Yeah.
And not being able to do that really calls into question whether or not we have suppressed that freedom.
Oh gosh, yes. And there's been a lot of pastors this last Sunday that didn't care what their state said. They went back to practicing religion.
What do you think about that?
I think that's...
What are the pros and cons of people that act on their own conscience and exercise their right to worship as they see fit, and that means assembling in bodies of other people that want to worship?
I think it's necessary to test the government at times like this, especially when you know they're way out there in the wrong and not following their own guidelines. And without that, we would still be selective on who sits in the front of the bus.
Absolutely. And I think that it's important to note here that I'm not taking a stand specifically as what one should do in these situations with the coronavirus and the business shutdown and all of the quarantines. But what you said is fundamental. We have to think and make a conscious decision and test the government. Mm-hmm. This blind obedience is the downfall to every civilized nation and their freedom. When you start to just follow like a flock of sheep, then the consequences are severe and almost always negative.
And I think that people are standing up right now. There is a real challenge right now to those governors that are being really authoritative and locking down. And there's a lot of pushback right now.
And that's good to see, and I hope that gets some more positive press, because I don't see it very often. I've got this Alexis little contraption on my desk, or I don't know if it's an Alexis or it's an Echo. It's a device, right, that Amazon produces, and it broadcasts news and weather, and anything you ask it, it'll give you some generic facts. But the news that keeps running on that is all about how we've got to continue to quarantine, how we've got to continue to adhere to what the governor is saying, to not go to work voluntarily and to do all these things. And I see that point of view, okay? And I'm not discounting that point of view, but what I'm saying is we cannot just blindly follow it. We've got to say, okay, hold on, let's weigh in balance what we're giving up and what we're gaining for this. We were willing to give up our lives, or at least our ancestors were, for the cause of freedom before.
Right.
Now we're not willing to do it now for the cause of
the same liberties they fought for. It's the same liberties, Sean.
Isn't it?
It is.
Just because the foe is different,
right,
doesn't mean the
now
rights are.
Now it's internal.
Yes. So I think it's important to give positive press to those who are making a stand and making that argument that, listen, we are giving up these rights that were very hard fought, and we're giving them away too easily. And when you do that, you don't get them back again without a hard fight again.
Exactly.
Without
right.
a lot of bloodshed, without a lot of turmoil within the country,
which
or within
we'd all like to avoid. But this thing has become such a political thing, unfortunately, and we don't need the politics in this.
Right.
I mean, we should all be together on these issues, and it's kind of surprising that we're not, to me.
What I would like to see is just an open mind and a broader perspective. So we'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
At Nationwide Vision, we've been safely taking care of all of your eye care needs for 35 years, and we're excited to be able to do it again. Select offices are now open. For more information, visit NationwideVision.com or call 1-800-EYE-CARE.
How can you find a Medicare plan that's a perfect fit? Call me, Mike Arce, the Medicare Plan Man. I'm your local licensed insurance professional specializing in Medicare plans that takes the time to know and to make sure you understand your Medicare options. Call me today, Mike Arce, the Medicare Plan Man, 928-581-1342, to schedule your no-cost, no-obligation appointment. That's Mike Arce, the Medicare Plan Man, 928-581-1342. Call today.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is 560 AM KBLU. I am Sean Garner, an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hansen. And this is Life, Death, and the Law. This is where we talk about estate planning, but a lot of times we talk about a lot more than estate planning. We don't just talk about dying. We talk about living and what living is and what freedom is. And Memorial Day is a time to sit back and reflect, because if you don't think about what you're willing to give up to live, then you don't really know what it is to live.
Yeah.
And Memorial Day gives us an opportunity to sit back and reflect on that. There are three traditions that were held largely throughout the United States. I didn't even know about them for a long time, but I printed them out, and I've got them here on my little outline, and I'm going to read them, and then maybe at the end you can read us a poem. It's your option, Russ, because I'm not going to read a poem.
I'll read it anytime you're ready.
Oh, all right. Let's go over these three things. One, Memorial Day is a national day of remembrance that obviously we want to remember those who have died in pursuit of freedom and fighting for our freedom. But at 3 p.m. local time, that is a time of silence and remembrance for a moment of just reflection on those who gave their lives for our freedom. So 3 p.m. local time. Mark your watches, put it on your smartphone, tell your Alexa to remind you. Also, number two, it is customary to fly the flag at half staff until noon on Memorial Day.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I knew the half staff. I didn't know they raised it at noon.
And then raise it all the way until sunset. So that is something, and I think that's neat. I think these are neat because when you do these things, it helps you call into remembrance why you're doing them, and it helps you be more reflective on it. So these customs, for their own sake, aren't important, but for the sake of remembering what they're for, that's important. Now, there's a World War II poem that sparked another custom, and that is the custom of wearing artificial poppies, so these little red berries.
Yeah.
And this World War I poem is called In Flanders Field. So here you go.
You want me to...
Yeah, let's test your poetry voice here.
Well, and I read this for the first time just a minute ago.
Okay.
But
There's no one judging you here.
Oh, except you. In Flanders Field, the poppies blow between the crosses row on row that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Field. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields.
I think that was pretty darn good for our first reading. So, these poppies obviously remind us of the blood that was spilt.
Correct.
For those who were fighting for freedom. And now the question is, do we still fight for freedom? Do we still raise our voice and at least question authority when our freedoms are being put at risk or are being restrained?
That's who we should be as a country. That's our DNA.
That's the definition of an American,
yeah.
Is to question authority and to resist when it comes to putting restraints on our freedoms.
Correct.
And what I want to see, what I'd like to see, is a bigger open conversation. It seems to be very one-sided, and when an individual speaks out and says, you know what, I am not so frightened by coronavirus that I'm going to give up my right to assemble with believers of my faith, that I'm going to give up my right to pursue the ownership of property, and that means going to work and actually doing the things that I need to do to produce the products that I provide, that I sell, and so I can bring home an income to my family, that I can pay the mortgage on my home that I've worked a lifetime to obtain.
But does the economy matter? We hear a lot of naysayers that say, you know, life is more important than money, and that's the way it's been put. And it's not about just money. It's about living. It's about earning, living, pursuit,
yes,
happiness, all of those things. And that's who we are. And if we run from that and say we must bubble wrap ourselves and lock in a closet and we'll let the government take care of us and we'll listen to the government's marching orders and we'll listen to the propaganda of the government that's called news, I think we've lost it all, and we can't give in to that.
Well, I think largely as a society, we adopt and we embrace this idea that if we were given a terminal diagnosis, we wouldn't go in and isolate ourselves and try to prolong our days just a day or two more. We would go out and we would live, right? We would climb those mountains. We'd ride those bulls. We would swim those oceans. We would do those things that we hadn't done before, even if it were to shorten our life because we have this terminal prognosis. Or the thing is, when we're born, that is a terminal right? diagnosis.
Yeah. That, yeah,
we're going to die. And how we deal with those days during our lifetime.
I'm not rushing towards that end, but we definitely need to live that life. Otherwise, we're not Americans. You know, Americans are unique. And, you know, the top 10 deaths, the cause of death in America, has one on the list that doesn't really exist in other countries.
What's that?
Accidents.
Really?
Yeah. Because, I mean, we'll take... We'll build an airplane in the garage and go fly it. And we'll go out on the dunes and live our life.
Mm-hmm.
And we will climb trees and say, hey, Vern, watch this. but accidents are in the top 10.
Going skiing down those slopes or going fast in the car.
Yeah,
or driving a car at all.
That's who we... Yeah.
Rather than taking public transportation or staying home.
Right, and we're unique because in the rest of the world... The percentage of population that drive is not the same.
Right. Now, if we think about that, if you really want to increase your chances of avoiding a life-threatening impact, don't drive.
Yeah.
And I don't think many people are willing to give up that right.
You're way too young. But back during the gas crunch in the 70s, they lowered the speed limit to 55 in order to save gasoline, because cars burn less at 55. They do at 65 to 80 or whatever. Well, after the gas crunch was over, they kept it at 55 because they found it saved lives. We revolted and said, we want to get to Phoenix. And 55 ain't getting it. And you know what? We changed as a country, and we made cars safer. We did what we could to mitigate, and we don't want drunk driving to happen, you know, freely. But still, we're going to get out there and live, and we're not going to go 55.
Yeah. Every time you get in the car, you're making a choice of whether or not you want to be free and get to the destination that you want to go to and live your life and exercise your liberty, or whether or not you want to be safer and get back out of the car and go home and close the door and lock it, right? And most people choose to get in that car and drive it. But now, when it's this different foe, when it's this novel idea that has been so sensationalized that if you are to even speak up and say, I don't know if this is a risk that is so extravagant that I'm willing to give up my freedoms for it, then you're looked at as a social deviant. You're looked at as somebody who is putting the rest of the population at risk.
Selfish.
And yet you're selfish and you ought to be, you know, put in your place, which is behind bars or in quarantine yourself, and therefore your freedom should be taken away from you because we, the rest of us, have decided to give it up, so you shouldn't have it either.
And on Memorial Day specifically, and it's, it came to my attention, we're honoring those that fought for the freedoms that we so quickly gave up, Sean. It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
We did it during 9/11. We did it with the Patriot Act. We should have not. We should have paid more attention then. And it's not too late to undo it, but we need to get back on track of the freedoms that we enjoy and liberties, and keeping government in check.
So the question is, why is the government so anxious, and why we have this cohesiveness now between both parties about putting these restrictions on?
It's a cohesiveness, but it's still a degree. I mean, there is a degree between the parties on how much is too much. Both are guilty.
Yeah.
Some have carried it even further. I think they realize, because I think power is inviting. Power is it's got to feel good to be, I'm going to tell the 7 million people in my state how they have to act, when they can go to bed, can they travel at night, what stores are allowed to be open. I am the wherewithal of everything. I am Lord Master.
That's it. And that the government continually seeks for more power.
Yeah.
That is what governments do. And we, as the people, we need to question every act of the government. We need to say, listen, is this us? Is this our voice? And is this for our overall benefit over the long term? Or is this going to lead us down a slippery slope that will take away freedoms that we won't be able to get back without a severe struggle?
You can tell it had less to do, I mean, it had to do with the coronavirus, but also more to do about their own egos and political directions, because some states closed abortion clinics because they didn't agree with abortions. Some states closed gun shops because they didn't agree with guns.
Yeah. They use it as the scapegoat to accomplish their political agenda.
Had they all done the thing just to keep uniformity, it would have been, you know, at least better accepted as, you know, they cared about the coronavirus. But the fact that it was used to further political agendas is obscene.
Well, and the agenda of the government in general is to have power, obtain more power, and to have the people depend on it. And so the people retain it in power.
And to control. They want to control and have the people depend. Like if don't worry, you don't work, you're not going to get any money, I'll send it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're all of a sudden the all-knowing governor and all-knowing state, and you don't need to worry, I'll take care of your food and all that. Well, pretty soon you're a slave at some point.
Yes.
You become a slave.
Yes, and it's really hard not to accept that. And honestly, an individual not accepting it isn't going to work. When we as a society accept those handouts, then the government has now got these strings attached, which we have to abide by. There are going to be tolls. Where are the tolls going to come from? It's going to be taxes on those who actually pay taxes. Small businesses and the people that are out there that are trying to retain their pursuit of property and happiness. And they can't because the government has taken such a big piece of the pie that there's not a, it's not possible to survive.
In the long run, it kills business, it kills investment, it kills all that, and we become Venezuela.
Yes.
How fast it happens or slow is how tight the screws are. But it happens. And eventually, there will be nothing left for them to take. And we'll be like Venezuela.
And I feel like we're falling asleep during this whole, this ought to be a war, this ought to be a controversy. And I don't think it's bad to have a heated, controversial discussion on this issue with two good, well-intentioned people on either side of the point.
It would be nice to have that, but what happens is there's so much anger and I'm right, no other answer is acceptable, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
Cancel culture. You need to take a break.
Okay. This is 560 AM KBLU. We will be back with more Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Accurate Automotive Attention has been serving our community for over 50 years, and we remain committed to maintaining your vehicle's health, and now yours as well, featuring non-contact drop-off and pickup, free vehicle pickup and delivery, after-hours drop box, and remote payment options. Accurate Automotive is sanitizing each and every vehicle to promote good health. Accurate Automotive is open and ready to serve you. Call or stop by today for details.
Accurate Automotive, auto experts you can trust.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is 560 AM KBLU. I'm Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason Garner and Hansen. Before we get too far along in our political speech, I do have to bring it back a little bit to my law firm and my pursuit of property and happiness, and that is what I do for a living, and that is helping people establish a legacy and protect against the sorrow and the hardship that comes along with disability and death. Now, we're all going to, at some point, die. Most of us will become disabled. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of people that come into my office, Russ, that when I talk about planning for disability, you know what the response is? That's not me. I'm not going to go through that.
No one thinks it's going to happen to them.
No, I'm not going to go in the nursing home. I'm going to live in my home until the day I die.
Yeah.
And I want to do that personally.
Sure.
But I know that the reality is, the health profession has gotten very effective at keeping our body healthier. But it's not as far advanced with keeping our mind healthy.
I don't know if they keep us healthy or just alive.
They keep keeping us alive. We're not very good at keeping ourselves healthy. But they keep us alive longer, but our mind goes. And so 70% of people go through a period of incapacity before they die. Do you know how long of incapacity they experience before they die on average?
I'm going to hate to know this answer. I do not know.
It's 2 years.
That's a long time.
It's 2 years of incapacity. And so it's not the hardest mainly on you that's becoming incapacitated. It's the hardest on your loved ones. It's the hardest on your family. Mm-hmm. Because now they're having to deal with dealing with your finances, making medical decisions, helping you be cared for when there's no legal authority to support the decisions that they're making on your behalf.
Right.
And so we've got to get those documents in place. And now, I'm talking about freedom, and I'm talking about whether or not it's right to shut down your business, or whether or not it's right to wear a mask and glove up every time you go and have any contact with any other human being.
Right.
I want people to be safe, right? I also want us to not give up our freedoms that have been hard fought and for which we're memorializing this day. To remember those. So what do I do at my business? I respect those who come in, and I acknowledge that they might have declining health, and I'm not going to put them at unnecessary risk, but I think it is essential to get planning done to make sure that you have somebody that you choose in place to make decisions for you if you're incapacitated or distribute your assets when you pass away, rather than allowing the court. Again, the government, it's been my mindset from the time that I was little that the government making decisions is not a good option, and it's still my mindset. And so I help people exercise their right continually, even after they become disabled, to allow their family members to make decisions for them instead of allowing the government, the courts in this case, appoint somebody to make those very important decisions. Now, we wear masks. When individuals come into our office, our front doors are locked. We've got big yellow signs on our front doors that says, if you have any symptoms, please just call us. Don't come in. And let's be responsible, right? Let's not just go out there and have the symptoms and cough and hack and be in close quarters. Don't also quarantine yourself and become a hermit.
I like that you've done it like that. And I want to differentiate that between what you started the show with about fight for our liberties. You're a private business and respecting your clients. It's not about the government told you to do any of this. This was your actions at for their care and at their for their comfort if they choose it.
Right.
And they could choose not to.
And some do. And yeah. I respect that too. And if they do, we have a couple of employees that have a history of lung illness.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are high risk. And one chose to stay home and telework for 2 months. And we absolutely respected that and honored that. And we went out of our way to make sure that was a possibility for her. She comes in now and she wears a mask. And we're happy to provide those masks. We're happy to, anytime we go into her office, put on a mask as well. And so it's not that I'm saying we need to throw the masks away and throw caution to the wind. What I'm saying is we need to just be open to the concept that there's this fine balance here that we're teetering on between giving up our liberties
right.
and just being responsible civilians.
But you don't get on the phone to call the governor's office and say, am I allowed to do this?
No.
This is about us as individuals and us, our business owners, making decisions that's right for our business. And the marketplace judges who's done it right.
And that's absolutely right. The marketplace judges, because the people should be allowed to choose for themselves. And when the people are blindly following these, whether it's a mandate, which often they have been, or whether it's just been guidelines that have been passed down.
Suggestion.
Yeah. These guidelines are now coming across more like hardline rules. And they've made what has been a normal store clerk into a police officer for COVID-19. Let me give you an example. I was in Lowe's last week. I love Lowe's. Mm-hmm. I love Lowe's and Home Depot. I go to those stores. That is my, you know, place that I go, and I can spend a couple hours.
That's
there.
A hobby.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I go there, and first of all, I waited in line 6 feet apart from the next person in front of me and behind me for about a half an hour to get into Lowe's.
Sure.
And
wow,
that was bizarre.
Bad time.
In and of itself. And so I waited, and then I got in Lowe's, and it was my wife and I. We picked up a trash can, and we were picking up a couple other supplies. And I was walking around a corner, and one of the workers at Lowe's was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! You can't just, you know, come around the corner like that. You need to like watch your step and like be more careful." There was somebody right around that corner, and I'm like, "Whoa, okay, I'm sorry." Now this is a kid, and I'm sure he's well intentioned, but he's probably not older than 19 or 20. And he's got this Lowe's badge on, and now he's become like the
traffic cop.
Yeah, and he looks over at my wife, and he goes, "Ma'am, you need to stop right there." He goes, "Sir, is that your garbage can?"
He said that?
Yes. And this
you're
is
not exaggerating?
No, I wish I were. I honestly wish I were. So I said, "Yeah, it's the trash can we're about to purchase." And he goes, "I need you to come over here."
What?
I'm like, okay, so I walk over next to my wife. So we're together to witness what is about to be unveiled here. And he says, "I need you to take the lid off of that trash can." Okay. So we take the lid off, and there's no contraband hidden inside. We're not stealing anything. And he goes, "Okay, it's store policy for us to check inside." And I'm like, "Can't you just say, hey, man, can I see inside what's in the trash can?"
It's store policy to check randomly while you're still in the store?
And that's what's happened with this mentality. When you get this authoritarian type style of rule with the government saying, do this and pop, everybody goes in lockstep, then it happens like that, and this mentality starts to reverberate.
Wow.
And so these stores that have been thriving, like Lowe's and Home Depot, they've put their employees in this mentality to work it just like the government has been working the rest of us.
I have not run into that yet.
Haven't you?
But I would turn on my phone because I find it hilarious. But it's dangerous. It's dangerous. I mean
just the feeling of like this invasion on my freedom to walk throughout the store, and just enjoy my Saturday afternoon was disturbing. And this young person with no training, with no concept of personal liberty and just decency and how to treat another human being, was just following what he's seen to be his example of an authority figure, and that's our government, right? Big brother.
He's picked that up from
real quick,
and they have control of you now. You're in my place. That's too bad. I have not seen that. And I go in Lowe's and
mm-hmm.
Home Depot quite a bit for work. You know, I do almost all the shopping for, you know, if somebody needs something, I run and get it. I'll be looking for it, though, but I've never run into that.
Keep your eye out.
I will. Let's take a phone call. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm just listening to you, and I think that's a new syndrome that's been described as the Newsom-Whitmer syndrome. So, yeah.
Have you run into that?
Narcissism going on.
Have you seen it? Have you run into it personally?
Yeah, actually, I have a daughter who's infected.
Oh.
So, yeah, she's a tracer somewhere.
And how's she doing? Anyway. Is she at home, or is she in the hospital, or?
No, she was quite ill for a few weeks. Very ill, as a matter of fact, we're not sure that's what she had. They're looking at doing a test later if she has any antibodies or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's in a position to become very able to enforce her belief system now, and she's very into it. Now, it's interesting and it's difficult.
It is. I hope we can get through this without ruining our young people.
Well, and if I can
thank
ask
you
a,
so much. Oh, you want to have a question?
Yeah, if I can ask you a question. So you have somebody that is very near and dear to your heart that has been affected by this, that this fear that everybody has and that the government is using to implement these restrictions, you've actually seen the consequences of it. What is your personal opinion about the steps that have been taken and whether or not we're going to give up more than we're going to get in return from all these restrictions?
Well, I definitely think we're giving up more than what we're going to get in return. We're talking about death and healthcare system impact. What's the next step here? Are we going to take non-compliant diabetics, people with obesity, people with renal failure, people with, you know, all sorts of different things that cause death and cost the taxpayer healthcare funding and that sort of thing? You know, how controlling are we going to become for them? You know, because it's a slippery slope when people can start telling people where they can go, where they can't go, what they must wear, what they must not wear. And, you know, a lot of elderly people at this point are saying, you know, hey, I'm willing to die if I can just see my family.
Mm.
And, you know, they don't want to be contained. And I think they should have some choice. And it's unfortunate, and it's causing a lot of distress and inside a family. And
I think your point is well spoken and well received.
Yeah.
And it's a minority voice that needs to be put out there. Thank you for giving us a call.
Take care.
Yeah, thank you.
So we've got to take a break now. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk more about planning and how you can exercise your liberties to continue on making sure you're government-free, even through disability and death. This is 560 AM KBLU.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Contest rules for all giveaways and contests on 560 KBLU can be viewed and downloaded at our website, KBLUAM.com.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service, there's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Tune in each morning at 6 a.m. for America's Morning News, brought to you by Yuma International Airport, home to four car rental agencies that are open early and close late, giving you more bang for your buck. Yuma International Airport. We've got your travel covered.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Life, Death, and the Law. I am Sean Garner with Deason, Garner, and Hansen. We are closed today, so if you call in and want to set up an appointment to get your estate planning done, you're going to have to leave a message because we're closed in remembrance of those who have died.
Yeah, you're not, though. You got up and came in. Good
hey,
for you.
But there's a reason.
It's it's fun though on Memorial Day and holidays and other issues because it's fun to remember why we're having this event or why we're having this.
Precisely. There's probably 10 to 1 that are out there enjoying the day without even understanding how the day came about or why they have the freedom to enjoy the day.
Right.
And so I came in and I was happy to do it. Get up early.
Well, you type up prepared notes, you do the whole thing.
And speak to the public to just let my voice be known, if nothing more, to demonstrate gratitude for those who have died and in pursuit of the freedom that we enjoy today. I am reaping the fruits of their labors, and I appreciate that.
Correct. And you want to leave it for your kids. And that's what's so important, that we pick up the torch, as that Flanders Field poem was, that the torch has been passed.
And now it's our opportunity.
It's our opportunity, and we have to hold it.
And with estate planning, I get the questions as to what's the best way to help my kids manage their inheritance so they don't blow it, so they don't turn into loafers that just rely on the inheritance that they receive and don't become productive citizens on their own. And I don't have the right answer. You come in, you tell me what you want to accomplish, you tell me what your family is about, and I'll help you through the legal jargon to get you there. And the trust are written up with a lot of legal jargon. I wish I could write them in just common language, but the reason that we have to write them that way is because precedent over the past, when terms have been challenged, certain terms have been determined to hold certain meaning. And so I don't want my clients to be the guinea pig on any certain provisions, so I type up very specific provisions that are kind of confusing for the layman to read, but will accomplish a certain end. And I put that trust together, but the end point that I'm getting at is your family and what you want to accomplish for them is what you do while you're alive. It's not the document that you leave when you're dead that is going to help them become a responsible, productive member of our society. It is what you do with them while you're alive. I like to help people understand that their affairs are in order if they become disabled or pass away, that the people that they want to be in control to make those decisions are in control, and it's never the government. I've never once had somebody come in and say, I'd like the court to be in control and decide who is going to be the best person to administer my estate. So, that's never happened. I've always had them either elect a family member or a friend. It's frequently a friend that becomes the administrator of the estate or the trustee. It can be an accountant. It even is our firm sometimes. And now we're licensed fiduciaries with our firm. And so not only do we have the standard of holding a law license and our professional reputation, but we also have a bond with the Supreme Court of Arizona that licenses us to be fiduciaries for those who need an individual that can help them manage their finances and their legal affairs if they come incapacitated, and assist their family to receive their assets when they pass away. But they don't want to put that burden specifically on their family, number one, because maybe the family's just not prepared to handle those types of decisions, or because they don't want to cause infighting in between the family members, and so they want a third party to do it. And so we can serve in that capacity, and we offer that service to do so. So that's what we want people to do, is exercise their right now while they're living to spend their money, spend their property, and determine where it goes when they pass away.
Or how they're cared for if they lose capability of caring for themselves.
Exactly.
That's important.
And that has not been a great marketing tool for us,
no.
Is to say, you're going to be incapacitated, so come in and plan for it.
Because no one thinks it's going to happen.
Yeah, they're going to say, well, I understand there are a lot of people out there, but it's not me. Well, 70% of us are going to become incapacitated according to
the statistics. I'm going to agree with most people. I'm part of the 30.
Okay. So am I. But, so planning for that, even part of going through the process of planning, I've seen the weight of the world come off of the shoulders of a lot of my clients, because they have it nagging in the back of their mind that their affairs aren't in order, that all of their finances, all of their bank accounts, all of their investments, they bought this stock long ago, they bought this life insurance policy 20 years ago, and they know that it's out there somewhere, and if they were to be guided to find it all and collect it, then they would be happy and sleep well at night. But it's one of those things that's easy to put off, and it becomes exponentially more difficult for their kids to find, and sometimes they never do find those assets. And so just going through the process of showing them there is a very step-by-step method that can help you find and organize those assets, and then establish who is going to manage them.
And then they're captured, and that gives them peace.
That gives me peace of mind, too. I'll tell you, I wasn't the greatest planner before coming into this, and I started feeling like a hypocrite. And I do now get each one of my bank statements, so they're filed. And I know what bank accounts I have opened, because it's really easy today to open up a bank account. We had 15, 20 bank accounts opened at one time.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Just for different reasons and different savings or
yeah, we opened one for Christmas. Okay. We opened one for vacation. Okay. We opened one for a child. Then another account becomes incentivized to be opened at Capital One and then at Wells Fargo. And so we've got all these accounts. And so just to get them all known first was a big accomplishment.
Yeah.
And then to consolidate and get them in order. So anybody that fell into our shoes, if we were to pass away or get in a car accident,
mm-hmm.
would have that ability to manage those affairs for our children. That was the thing that really helped me. Okay, breathe a sigh of relief, relax when I came home from work, and know that I'm going to live life, and tragedy happens, but I'm not going to let it govern the decisions that I make each day. I'm going to enjoy life, and if it happens, then I've been a responsible adult, and I'm going to make sure that people that love my children are given the legal authority to take care of my children.
And you're not going to burden your children with some decisions they shouldn't have to make.
Right. And many kids are 18, you know, 25, even just early 30s when this happens to their parents.
Sure.
But not mentally in the state of mind to be making those decisions, especially when it happens suddenly. And so as the parent of those type of children, you need to think about that. What would my son or daughter do if this happened suddenly without anything written out or without a confidant to go to? And so what we act as is, number one, the professional service that helps you line up what your wishes are, and number two, be that confidant that knows you and understands what your wishes are, so when your family members come to us, we can actually help communicate to them that message and help navigate the legal labyrinth that they're going to have to go through. And it's not just legal, it's the financial as well, to help them manage your affairs.
But since they've never done it before, so everyone needs a little help on that. It's going to save everybody.
Certainly, certainly. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like dealing with an automatic transmission.
That's a good point.
There are those mechanics out there that they do that on a daily basis. And I'm somewhat mechanical, but if my car were to have transmission issues, I would take it in and I would trust the mechanic. And as long as it's not making that funny noise and it gets me from A to B, then I'm going to trust that all those gears and all those weights are balancing up and they're working correctly. And that's what we try to be for our clients. They can focus on what they do well and let us put in place all of the pieces that help their estate plan function seamlessly. So when they get in that car, they can have peace of mind that whatever happens, they have their affairs in order.
Yeah.
That's all the time that we have for this week. We'll be back next week with another edition of Life, Death, and the Law. Happy Memorial Day, Yuma.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928 928-
783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU.